Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
John's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 43. I want somebody to read the scripture for me, please. I have come in my Father's name, Jesus is saying, and you did not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. We get back to Revelation chapter 13. A couple of scriptures to read before we start with the message. We've been dealing with the message of the second coming of Jesus Christ for the last 3 to 4 weeks now. And how many of you have been here the last 3 to 4 weeks? Amen. Hallelujah. We spoke about the signs of his coming. We spoke about the reality of his coming. We spoke about the fact that what would happen when he comes. We spoke about after the church is taken up, what would happen on this earth. And how at the present time, there is a spirit of Antichrist that is working in this world, which the Bible speaks about. The mini Antichrist. We spoke about the difference between the spirit of Antichrist and the mini Antichrist that are already in the world. And we're dealing with the message now, if the Lord will help us today, on the Antichrist. We made some beginning on it last Sunday, but then we had to go on into this week. And so, indeed, when Jesus comes, He's taking the church. Amen.
Amen.
Now, this message is only important for you in the fact that if you are a part of Jesus Christ today, you won't need it now. Other than to be a knowledge part of it. But this will be needed for people who will not be caught up when Jesus comes. Because when Antichrist begins to rule on this earth, after Jesus comes and takes his church, amen. Hallelujah. People wouldn't know what to do. They wouldn't know what's happening. They wouldn't know why all the children left. They wouldn't know why believers have left. They wouldn't know why this Bible thumping preaching people have left. They wouldn't know why people who worship Jesus Christ and walked with Him, anointed in the Holy Ghost, have left. They do not know where they have gone. And at that point of time, nobody would be here on earth to reveal the Word of God to them. And so some of the greatest men of God, all through the times in which God has used them, have set apart a certain cassette or a talk or a book or something like that to leave here so that those of them who are here can at least look through those cassettes and know what's happening. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now this morning, we are looking into Revelation chapter 13 on the Antichrist, what the Bible has to speak on that. Now, if you missed a lot of the last couple of weeks' messages, I don't know how much you would understand it, but pray the Holy Ghost will give you revelation. Revelation chapter 13. And the last week we were speaking on how the enemy counterfeits everything, how there is, we believe in the God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. That is the Trinity. Amen. We worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And how the enemy counterfeits everything. And last week we spoke about from the Bible on the counterfeit Trinity that is already there. Revelation 20 verse 2 speaks about anti-God, Satan, Lucifer, dragon. That's what the Bible speaks about it. He is anti-God. Then we spoke about Revelation 13, the beast, that is the Antichrist. You are here? Amen. Revelation 13 is speaking about the Antichrist. Then we spoke about the anti-Holy Spirit, which the Bible speaks about again in Revelation 13 as the false prophet. Amen. Remember this? Just like we believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there is already a Trinity that is diabolic, where Satan is anti-God, anti-Christ is the beast, and anti-Holy Spirit is the false prophet. And now we're going to, and last week we mentioned about how the Antichrist counterfeits everything that Jesus Christ does. Amen?
Amen.
Everything that the Lord Jesus did. says how the enemy counterfeits it. If Jesus is the good shepherd in John 10, we spoke about how the Antichrist is the false shepherd. In Zechariah 11, he's the false shepherd or the foolish shepherd. Amen. How we spoke on when there is the Lord's table, where believers, the Lord's table, the real Lord's table. Are you with me? Yes, when believers are washed in the blood of Jesus, when they are born again, when they receive Jesus Christ into their hearts to be the Lord, Master, Savior, and God, when they separate themselves to the waters of baptism, when they've been anointed with the Holy Ghost, that's when you start the race, that's when you have the authority to come before the Lord's table. Amen. Yeah. Now that's the biblical description of the Lord's table, where the believers gather together to partake of the body and the blood, the remembrance of it, together in worshipping the Lord. Now we have that, we do that. But we spoke from the word on how there is a counterfeit from the enemy. Amen. You need to have your spiritual senses exercised, because some of the things that have been mentioned here will really shake you up. But if you are a person who believes in the truth, the word of God, and if you have taken it to be the authority over your life, let me tell you, it will set you free. Amen. Now we spoke about the counterfeit, that is the table of demons, in which 1 Corinthians 10:21 speaks about. There is a table, there is a mimicking of the Lord's table even there in the world today. Amen. Now we spoke about the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus Christ is not a denomination. It's not a historical church. It's a church that is made up of living members. Where it's not a structure. It's not a building. It's not an institution. It's people washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Their many bodies are breaking for God, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. If they live, they live for Jesus. If they die, they die for Jesus. You and me, we are the sanctuary of the Holy Ghost. And when you and me gather together, that's the church. That's what the Bible speaks about. Now you might have your own views, but you will need to change it one day, if not today, someday when Jesus comes. And how many bodies are breaking for God, filled with the Holy Ghost? Amen. If they live, they live for Jesus. If they die, they live for Jesus. You and me, we are the sanctuary of the Holy Ghost. And when you and me gather together, that's the church. That's what the Bible speaks about. Now you might have your own views, but you will need to change it one day, if not today, someday when Jesus comes. And how we spoke about, there's a counterfeit from the enemy called the church of the Antichrist, or the false church, or the synagogue of Satan. Amen. There's a synagogue of Satan. He'll offer you position, prominence, worldly security, worldly ambitions will be fulfilled there. But Jesus will not be glorified. And let me tell you, the Bible will have no place there. If the Bible is there, it will only be there kept. Amen. Well, you will blow the incense over it, walk around it, but that won't save you, that won't set you free. You will light the candle around it, you will kiss it 100 million times. But that won't set you free. This word of God is to be illuminated by the Holy Ghost. When He begins to reveal the word of God, it is not just a word, it's just not a book, but it is the living word of God. The Rhema, God's spoken word, which will set you free, heal you, deliver you. Amen. We spoke last week on the bride of Christ and the bride of the Antichrist, or the mystery Babylon. Hallelujah. Now we gotta get into, and I pray the Holy Spirit will help us today, into the Antichrist. Amen. The number 666 in the Bible. You don't have to read Nostradamus to find it. As an matter of fact, don't read him at all. You need to read the Bible. Hallelujah. We spoke about Bible prophecy being the history in print. Amen. How written? It's written in print. Whatever is spoken about the coming of Jesus Christ has already come to pass. The first coming, the second coming, the signs we spoke about, 33 of them. Amen. Some of them we lived through, some of them we didn't because of lack of time. But here is Revelation 30. Let's pray the Holy Ghost will help us today. You know, my job as a minister of the gospel is only to be a postman. To hand you the letter that Jesus gives to me from His Word. You can open it and read it. If you don't like it, don't cry at me, but write to the, speak to the one who wrote it. If you like it, don't thank me, thank him. You don't go and kiss the postman for every letter that they bring. Do you? Hallelujah. A minister of the gospel is a postman. Amen. He declares what the Lord presents to him. He gives it over. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We spoke about the characteristics of the Antichrist. Whether it be the mini Antichrist or the spirit of Antichrist, the distinction we spoke about. And we spoke about the characteristics of the Antichrist, that's so we don't fall into it. And we're going to look to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I want to use one word that is mentioned there to describe what the Lord is trying to tell us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, are you there? And the Bible, the Antichrist is called by many names from the scripture, from the Old Testament. And if you are a person who's taking down notes, you can know this. In Isaiah 10 and verse 5, he is mentioned in the name of the Assyrian. Isaiah 10:5, Isaiah 12:24. When you find the word Assyrian there, and describing the features and the characteristics, speaking about the Antichrist in the Bible. Then in the book of Daniel chapter 7 and verse 8, and Daniel chapter 8 and verse 9, Daniel is prophesying with a word called the little horn. The little horn is again the Antichrist. Speaking about the Antichrist. But in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23, he is seeing somebody with a fierce countenance. Some people say it could be, Prince Charles could be the Antichrist. Well, the Bible doesn't say so because of this one scripture. Why? Because the two parts of the scripture, one part mentions there that this Antichrist will not have a much of a liking towards a relationship with a woman. Well, we know that Prince Charles does have. So obviously that's not him. Hallelujah. Then in the book of Daniel chapter 9 verse 26, he's mentioned in the word as the prince that shall come. He's not speaking about Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. He's speaking about the Antichrist in Daniel. We're just speaking about the names. In the book of Daniel chapter 11 and verse 36, he's called the willful king. He lords by his will. Self-rule. It's diabolic. Do you know that? That's why you need to give your heart to Jesus. And allow him to rule over your life. And how do you do that? How do you do that? It's not through your words. In Colossians 3 it says, let the word of God rule through you. Are you with me? How do you know Christ is ruling through you? You allow the word of God to rule through you. Colossians 3 says that. So when you say you love the Lord with your mouth and with your heart, the word of God is not ruling, it means you are in an emotional deception. Are you with me? The word of God is to rule through your heart. That's how we know Christ rules through you. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2 speaks about four different names for him. That's what we read about. One is called the man of sin. Amen. Second is called the son of perdition. The mystery of iniquity. In the 7th verse of 2 Thessalonians 2. And in Revelation 30, he is called the beast. Amen. How many of you here today? Now we're going to look to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in the 7th verse, it says, The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Amen. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who does now restrains and will do so until he is taken out of the way. We spoke about the one that restrains the work of the Antichrist today in the world is the Holy Spirit. It's the body of believers. Now when the body of believers are caught up, the Holy Spirit takes up the body of believers in the world called rapture or caught up to be with the Lord in the clouds. Amen. Then the Antichrist will be revealed in all its fury. Amen. And then it speaks about the ninth verse which says, the Lord shall come with the church. Amen. For 7 years, then Antichrist shall rule. Then the Lord shall come with the church to destroy the Antichrist and Satan and all of them by putting them into the pit of fire or sulfur. Now, I want to highlight is this word called the mystery of lawlessness or the mystery of iniquity. Scripture is self-explanatory. I mean, from Scripture you prove Scripture. You hear that? Amen. If you want to know something, from the Scripture itself, it's a proof of everything. Now, when the Bible speaks about the mystery of iniquity, what does the Bible mean? Let's look to one Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 3. You need to be great so you'll understand it, otherwise you'll go over your head. Amen? You need to keep your heart prepared and lift it up to the Lord. Because it's so hard to get a message like this preaching on a Sunday morning for service. When there are so many people who just walk in there for the first time, who are wondering what's happening. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So make sure that your heart is lifted up to the Lord and God will speak with you. Now in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. It says there, the mystery of godliness. Amen. The scripture that we read before, it was the mystery of? Lawlessness or iniquity. Now here it speaks about the mystery of godliness. And what is the mystery of godliness? It says there, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Speaking about Jesus Christ, the mystery of godliness, it says that he came in the flesh. He was manifested in the flesh. He was born through a virgin, Jesus Christ. Now, so in the same meaning, when the Antichrist is revealed, we understand the mystery of iniquity is this: he shall also be the seed of Satan, but he shall also be born of the flesh. Or he shall be manifested in the flesh. Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
Amen.
The mystery of godliness was that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born through a virgin. Amen. And did not the form of a human being. He was born in the flesh. God's Holy Son, the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus. He came to save you and me. Amen. The mystery of iniquity is this: the seed of Satan, which is the Antichrist, shall also be coming through the flesh. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Hallelujah. Would you lift your hand and pray for some time? This needs to go through. And Revelation 13. And I want somebody to wait for me, please. Verses 15 to 18.
He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should cause both as many as speak to do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666.
Amen. There's something amazing here. If you will study the Revelation 13th chapter, read the third verse also.
And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast.
Yes. One version says, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. The word used there is, he was dead and he came back. Now of all the imitations or the counterfeits of the enemy, there will come a time when the Antichrist, the beast, will fall down dead, and he will counterfeit the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the whole world at that time will believe in that miracle. Did you hear that? And just like it was in the book of Romans 8 and verse 9, which says that it was the Spirit of Christ that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, it will be the false prophet who will work the miracle to bring back the Antichrist back to life. So people will look and they will see that marvel and they will fall down and worship the Antichrist. Now if you are not saved today, believe me, there will come a time when you will have to choose between worshipping a living God and worshipping the Antichrist. And that time, if you do not, you will be killed. Are you with me? It will not be a decision that you can make on your own. You will have absolutely no help of the Holy Spirit that time, because He has already left the earth with the church. That is why salvation is now and today. You know, when people hear the message, they keep putting it off. But let me tell you, you need to receive Jesus today. You need to belong to Him today. Salvation is never after death. Nobody can send you to heaven after death. It's when you are here today. You need to be born again. You need to have Jesus as the Lord of your life. You need to be a part of His body so you can be called to be with Him. It's today. Amen. Now it says here, the Antichrist, at that time, he will cause both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who is understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 666. 7 is the number of perfection. It speaks about the Antichrist. The number of the beast is 666. He will cause you to have a mark either on your forehead or on your right hand. Amen. And some people speak about that mark being withdrawn, where you have a little mark on your forehead or on your hand. But let me tell you, it's more than that. The truth of an Antichrist would be a mark that is already there in your thinking. You would begin to think the way he wants you to think. Whether you are rich or poor, small or great, your way of thinking begins to change. And let me give you a scriptural description of that. You would say, wait a minute, where do I find a scripture like that? How do I know that it's my thinking or my mind that he will put a mark on? How do I know that? Well, when you look at the book of Daniel, chapter 4, the book of Daniel, are you there? The 4th chapter. And this is speaking about Nebuchadnezzar. It says that, let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast,
and let seven times pass over. Look at this translation. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him. Because of his mind, Nebu became a beast outwardly also. Nebuchadnezzar was the king, but he was not worshipping the God of Israel. And he was filled up with pride. And he resisted the many men of God, and the prophets of God, and the very word of God. And the Bible says there came a point of time, in his mind, he was changed to be like a beast. And he acted and behaved everything like a beast. Everything of his mind began to be changed. Are you with me? Oh yes. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The enemy, the Antichrist, will want to put a seed on your mind. That's why even now today, you and me are exhorted by scripture to have a mind renewed. Are you with me? To think like Jesus. To act like Jesus. To read the word of God. To allow the word of God to saturate your mind. That is the protection for you. Amen. The enemy will try to change you to think like the world, which lies in the power of the enemy, and will soon begin to make you think like the very Antichrist. And that is why some of you are thinking that way. That's why you find it strange when God's people come and worship the Lord. Are you with me? You don't even know which is right now. You hear that? You're religious. You're good. But let me tell you, you don't know what's right now. You find it strange when people worshiping with songs and praise and thanksgiving. You find it strange. At the same time, you don't like or find it a problem to go and go down before an idol or to light a candle or to blow some incense. Which is right. When people worship God, when they worship the Lord with rejoicing and with gladness, the Bible says that is emotionalism. Which is right.
Receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I like it. Hallelujah. Is there a torment forever? Those who have the mark of the beast. Amen. But now, the seed of the beast, or the ark of the beast. Now, open with me one more scripture, please. Ezekiel chapter 9. And verses 2.
And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the Lord, God of Israel, had gone up from the Shire, where it had been, to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen, who had a writer's inkhorn at his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it.
Amen. And the Old Testament, you're finding that God is saying, put mark on the people whom you find crying and sighing over the abominations in Israel. Let me tell you, in the book of Revelation chapter 7 verse 3, it speaks about the saints of God being preserved by a mark or by a seal that is laid by the Holy Spirit. When you and me receive Jesus, and when you and me are baptized in the Holy Spirit, God will put an invisible to your eyes, but a visible seal to the enemy on your mind, on your heart, on your life. There'll be a seal that says, you are God's property. Are you with me? Amen. When you receive the Lord, when you walk with Jesus, when you abide in the Word of God, the Holy Ghost will seal you on your forehead. Revelation 7:3 says on your forehead. Now there's a seal that comes upon a believer because it belongs to God. And then you might not understand it, but the devil speaks. The devil says, hey, this guy is God's property. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to belong there. When you have me walking along. Hallelujah. No wonder the devil is mad. Amen. The seal of the Holy Ghost on your life and my life. Amen. The Antichrist has been taking that. And for those of them who are worshipping the beast, he's putting a seal. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is your mind here? Is your heart here? How many of you are still listening? Well, in Ezekiel 9th chapter, the Lord is saying, listen, six men are coming out. Some of them have got a battle axe on their hand. And the Lord is saying there was one with the lighter zinc. That one with the lighter zinc was asked to go around the city and find out people who were crying over the abominations of Israel and to seal them. Amen. Not everyone, but to seal those of them who were crying over the abominations of Israel. And those people are protected, while the rest of the five went with a battle axe and destroyed everyone else who did not have the seal. You hear that? Now, Ezekiel 8 speaks about the angel of God lifting up the prophet and taking him into the very center of Jerusalem, into the temple of Jerusalem, and there in the temple of Jerusalem, suddenly the angel is showing the prophet in the very holiest place, the Holy of Holies. Instead of God's glory, they have substituted with an idol called the idol of envy. And they were worshipping it. So real worship had left. Are you with me? In the temple of Jerusalem, in the very Holy of Holies, instead of the presence of God, there was an idol of envy or the idol of jealousy. Ezekiel 8, 3 and 4 says that. And people were worshipping it. Now some people did not belong there. They were saying, no, we don't belong there. We can never go down before an idol. We worship the Holy One of Israel. Our God does not speak through an animal or through a beast or through an animal or a bird. Does not speak through a man-made idol. He speaks through His Spirit. We will not go down before it. And these people who receive the mark of God were people who had not go down before the idol. Together. What am I trying to tell you, sir? What I'm trying to tell you is this. In the matter of religion, if you are going and worshipping an idol, you won't have God's seal over you. You hear that?
Again, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8. When the prophet is seeing this, he's getting scared. And then the sixth verse. Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations that the house of Israel commits here to make me go far away from my sanctuary. Now turn again, you will see greater abominations. So he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, Son of man, dig into the wall. And when I dug into the wall, there was a door. And he said to me, go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there. I went in and saw there every sort of creeping thing, abominable beast, all the idols of the house of Israel, portrayed all around on the walls. Amen. You hear that? This group, which had the seal of God, did not go there also. Amen. Not an idol of envy. That's inside. Are you with me? Envy is always inside. Idol of envy. You hear that? Idol of envy. It's an idol. It's inside. Most people don't even think it is a sin. Envy. It's called idol of envy. Then the idols that are outside, that's outside. Creeping things, animals, birds, idols that they have made with their hands, substituting for the living God. Outside. Amen? These people who have the seal of God did not go there also. Read on. And the 12th verse. Then he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the room of his idols, for they say the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. Who do you see there? The elders. Muslims. The elders. What are the elders doing? What they are doing, they are not doing like the youth. They are doing it in the dark. These people who have the seal of God did not join up with them also. Hallelujah. Read on. The 14th verse, 13th verse. The Lord said to me, turn again, and you will see greater abominations than they are doing. So he brought me to the door of the northern gate of the Lord's house. And to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Thomas. Not Thomas? Hallelujah. Thomas. That's a fertility God. An idol of uncleanness, I would say. An idol of uncleanness. Woman sitting there, worshipping. An idol of uncleanness. These men who had the seal of God did not go there. Also, what am I trying to tell you? If you want to have a seal of God, you can never worship before the idol, inside your heart or outside. The idol and word means substitute. Anything that is substitute for the living God. You can't worship it. It needs to be the Lord. No matter how sweet and wonderful it looks, you cannot. Whether it be a fertility God, a sexual demon, an unclean, you cannot. You hear that? I mean, I suddenly find that some of you are enjoying this. How are you going to see that the Holy Spirit? When it comes to people who say, listen, He's the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Holy. Holy. Holy.
Spirit. It's not any spirit, it's a holy God. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's a Holy Spirit. So people will say, I want to be clean. Be holy unto God. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit comes. Mm-hmm. And the 16th verse. So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs towards the temple of the Lord and their faces towards the east, and they were worshipping the sun towards the east. These men were the seal of God, did not go there also. Hallelujah. He brought me to the inner court of the house, and there at the door of the temple of the Lord. Can you imagine that? They're at the door of the temple of the Lord. And what are they doing? They're holding on to a tradition. And they're saying, with their back towards the temple, their faces towards the east, they were worshipping the sun. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If you have to keep on asking somebody, do I belong to God? It's a sure sign that you are not. Because when the seal of God comes, you would know for sure that you are saved. You would have the joy of salvation. You would know that you are born again, belonging to God.
Yeah.
And the Lord said He would separate unto Himself a group of people. Committed unto the Lord. By this time, this message is true.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Revelation chapter 13. If you want to be among those group of people who are going to be anointed by God's Holy Spirit belonging to Jesus, lift your hand and pray the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Here I am, Father. Here I am, Jesus. Open up, Spirit of us. Come on, some God with us. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 7. We're just going quickly on to this world. Who is the Antichrist? The Mark, we'll continue with it because it's, the number will just come to that. Let the Lord lead us here. 11th chapter and verse 7.
When they finish the testimony, the beast that, you know, all these kind of things happen when you're dealing with the subject. When they finish the testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them and kill them.
Hallelujah.
Open with me, John 17. Sorry, Revelation 17 and 8. Are you there? It says there, the beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. It says here, the beast was and is not and will ascend. The Good News Version says, it was once alive, but now no longer lives, but will reappear. Hear me well. The beast, it was once alive, but no longer lives, but will reappear. Which means, the Antichrist was there on earth before, but it's not there now. I'm not speaking about the spirit of Antichrist, not the very Antichrist, but the Antichrist. But it's not well now, but it shall be revealed. Are you with me? So which means, the Antichrist was there before, and is now there, but will come back. Amen.
Amen.
Did you get that? Did you get that? Let's look to that word perdition. John 17. The Gospel of John chapter 17. And verse 12. Here Jesus is praying and He said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, from the scripture might be fulfilled. Amen. Together?
Amen.
The Lord is speaking about his disciples and he's saying, all that you gave me, Father, are with me, for one was lost, the son of perdition. Amen. And the Antichrist is called perdition. And the Bible says in Revelations that he was, but is not there now, but will again reappear. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? So who could it be? Judas. Well, let me give you some more scriptures here. Acts 1. Acts 1. Scripture is to be explained with scripture. Amen. In Acts 1 verse 25 it says here, to take part of his ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by translation fell, that he might go to his own place. Say that with your own place. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that anybody else went to their own place. But speaking about Judas, the Bible says he went to his own place. The son of perdition. Amen. Who was, but is not now, but will reappear.
How many of you understand this?
Let's look at one more scripture. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. John chapter 6, verses 70 and 71. Here again, Jesus answered them and said, did I not choose you the 12? And one of you is a devil. The Lord knows that one of you is like the devil. There are many like the devil. But Jesus said, one of you is the devil. About whom was he speaking? Amen. He was, but is not, but will reappear. The son of perdition. The Lord spoke about it. Amen. And here it says that he is the devil. Let me give you something here. I pray that you didn't miss out on the last week's message, otherwise you wouldn't get it. We spoke about the many antichrists, the spirit of antichrist that is already operating in this world. That's why we need to check out to find whether we can be kept from, and we should be kept from that by following after Jesus biblically, so that we can have the seal of God's anointing upon us. Amen. But never think, because there are many antichrists who spirit of antichrist, that they are the antichrist. The antichrist from scripture, the Bible makes it clear, is, I believe from the word, is Judas. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why I'm saying that is because once we were in a place into the high ranges, a couple of you belong to that place, and a man came for prayer, and he had the mark and the number 666 on his head. On his head, literally. Hallelujah. And one of the brothers here, laid hand on the man, went down on the path. He began to manifest. The demons began to come out of him. And he said, I am the Antichrist. That's not good. He is the Antichrist. That made me think. He could be one of the many antichrists. But I said, are you Judas? He's not the antichrist. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Why I'm saying that is because, will the enemy be the liar? will begin to lie and make you look at some of the Antichrist to make you think that they could be the Antichrist. Because we have reports of people prophesying and speaking and preaching and saying, okay, Saddam Hussein is the Antichrist, that guy is the Antichrist, this guy is the Antichrist. But scripture, we can check from scripture, again to scripture, this is it. Look at God. Hallelujah. But he will reign for a period of 7 years. Amen? That's all. Then, you and me, coming with Jesus, in the White House, will make sure, hallelujah, he's dealt with. Amen?
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
Now let's look to a couple of things about the Antichrist and or Jesus and the Antichrist, what the Bible has to say. Are you tired? Because we didn't come to the number, we will finish on that. Are you okay? What it means. We're just dealing with step by step. And I'm going through this, I'm trying to get it all together today because next week I won't be here. Flying in the Middle East tomorrow to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. How many of you keep that in prayer? Hallelujah. Some of the greatest men of God have prophesied and said, it is only the Middle East that needs to hear the gospel well. And most believers and most preachers and the anointed men of God believe that when Middle East has heard the word of God, then the Lord's coming is certain. Because the rest of the world has heard it many a time. Some of them have rejected it, some of them have received it. But it's only in the Middle East that the gospel has been shut. People have never had a chance to hear. And whenever I get an opportunity to go into that place to preach the gospel, I say, yes, Lord, I will. Hallelujah. I don't like that place much, but I will go. Just declare the gospel and get me back home safely. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look through the scriptures. Glory to God. For their faith. Some of them have been struck down because they stood for their faith in Christ. But they are eagerly waiting for it. Amen. How lovely I was sitting and saying, Lord, there are people who are really taking them to you. We have people today who are so comfort conscious. People who are so caught up in the momentary pleasures and forget eternity. Some of them cannot even worship without having a nice place to sit. Even with an AC on, they will still say it's too hard to worship. But even if there's a cricket match going on in the stadium, they would go and stand in that stadium to see that match. Let us say that Jesus is coming for those who are eagerly waiting for him. That means before the Lord comes, you will find a lot of people whom the world would say fanatics, but whom God would say, yeah, right after my own heart. Ready for the Lord. Amen. Blessed should be the name of the Lord. problem with this, but next week the message continues. One of the good things about the work of God here is, when the anointing comes, the anointing gets imparted. And when the anointing gets imparted, the ministry no longer is in my hands, but in the hands of the Lord. And He raises up people to declare the word. This series will continue on. There are some of them who are here who will be preaching. Next Sunday, the continuation of this message, or the between time of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Why? For this purpose, that we might be ready. Amen? We'll just stop here tonight. But if you are here in this place, this will continue. Amen? Continue on with this message. But if you are here this morning,